Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. He's picked out some great bumper music. Fridays, we do kind of a rock and roll bumper music. Today, we've got Jackson Browne lined up for our bumper music on the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, April 22nd. To all of our Jewish friends, today, the first day of Passover. Want to acknowledge that. And of course, we also want to acknowledge Mother Earth. Congratulations to Mother Earth on this Earth Day. Want to thank all of our media sponsors on Friday. We thank our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and our friend Emil Franzi's publication, the Southern Arizona News Examiner, all big supporters of our work here. They have links to our show on their home pages. Our Friday Focus interview today, Republican Martha McSally, United States Representative from Arizona's 2nd Congressional District. Congresswoman McSally, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
Also in studio, Mr. Dan Scheer, speaking of the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun. Dan is the editor of those two fine local publications. If you have a question or comment, our live line number 790-2040. The Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, and we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Bill.
Should I get the Donald Trump question out of the, right out of the bat? You know, Donald Trump. Everybody asks you that, right?
Ask me what, Bill?
Are you going to support Donald Trump if he is the Republican nominee?
Well, and my answer is I'm working about 15 to 18 hours a day representing the people of Southern Arizona. And there's a lot of things that can happen between now and the summer on both sides. Let's let the process work itself out.
How about the A-10? This is a big event coming up, the House Armed Services Committee. This is called, is it the what they call the markup of the National Defense Authorization Act?
Yeah, so every year we get a baseline bill that comes from the chairman, which is his mark on the bill as the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. And then next Wednesday at 10 a.m. East Coast time, we start what's called the markup. We go section by section through the entire bill. That's going to direct policy, pay increases, protecting things like the A-10, the EC-130. I mean, you name it is in this bill. And we go section by section, and anyone can offer an amendment anywhere along the line. We debate the amendments. We vote on all the amendments. Last year, this took 18 hours straight. We finished up at 5 a.m. The next morning. And in that process, as you know, we were able to fully fund and protect the A-10 and the EC-130.
Dan Scheer.
A lot of people are going to be surprised to learn that there actually is a Douglas port of entry because not much has happened down there, but something is happening now. Can you tell us about this five-year plan?
Oh, absolutely. So, look, Douglas is a little border town that, you're right, I mean, maybe a lot of people in the community are not familiar with, but has tremendous opportunity for increased trade and traffic with Mexico to include southbound traffic, mining equipment, and other things based on growing economy down in Mexico. But its port of entry is so old and so not what it needs to be in order to support an increased flow of traffic. And we have been hammering, since I've been in office, trying to figure out how to move this project forward. The town, the city of Douglas, has a proposal. They were trying to figure out ways to get it funded through a public-private partnership. They haven't been able to get approval. So I held a hearing this last week, which was in my role as the Border and Maritime Security Subcommittee Chair, addressing across the country issues related to infrastructure and manning challenges. And in that hearing, when I was highlighting the importance of the Douglas Port of Entry, they admitted to us that in the next five-year plan that Douglas would be in that plan. So that was really great news to hear. Of course, we'll believe it when we see it in writing. But we're glad that our advocacy has caused them to take a tighter look and to elevate the priority of that important economic project.
Jim Kelly is with us on the live line. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I am well, Bill. Thank you for taking my call. Congresswoman McSally, first off, I want to talk about the bill that passed through the House regarding DHS having to give measurement now with regards to what is a secure border.
Yeah.
Do you have a good chance of getting that through to the president's desk without anybody else putting a poison pill in there?
So thanks, Tim, for the question. Yeah, last week, my sixth bill with McSally as the lead co-sponsor or the lead sponsor made it through the House of Representatives. Very strong bipartisan support. Actually, it was passed unanimously by voice vote. And it simply directs Homeland Security to do a full threat assessment of the 2,000 miles of the southern border. They haven't done a full one that has been comprehensive and reported to Congress in over 20 years. And they keep changing their metrics of what they use to tell the American people in Congress what level of border security we have. And this is actually part of the challenge that's not building faith and understanding of what is the situation. And that allows it to kind of get hijacked based on anybody's, whatever their desires might be. So we're directing them through this bill that they have to do a full assessment. We give them specifics on the types of metrics they need to be using, specifically what level of situational awareness they have, what level of operational control. And like our other bills, we're pushing to get these through the Senate either with a companion bill or by a process that they call unanimous consent, where they can just fast track non-controversial bills to the president's desk. That's what we're pushing for. But I will tell you, we have another bill, one of my other five that had passed, the Border Security Technology Accountability Act, which is also not controversial, to provide oversight to border technology projects that we had hoped was going to get through the Senate last week in this process, but we had a Democrat hold it up. And so we think they're playing politics with border security now, and we're trying to get to the bottom of what their motive is and why they're holding up things that need to move forward to improve border security because of their own potential political shenanigans.
One of our listeners just emailed me about the A-10. If I would ask you about the contract extension with Boeing for the A-10 wing replacement?
Yeah, so, one of the important investments in the A-10 that's happened over the last years is investing in what we call rebuilding its wings or re-winging it, because structurally it's now at the point that from an engineering point of view it needs to be strengthened for it to continue to fly. And a number of the A-10s have already been rebuilt, and we still have some to go. But the contract is running out this year. So one of the things that we have been pushing on is that we need to continue to fully fund the A-10 to include investing in those wings. While we also, our approach in this year's defense bill, which I didn't get to earlier, is that we've, because of our advocacy, we've got the Pentagon agreeing to doing a comparison test between the F-35 and the A-10 side by side in close air support and combat search and rescue as part of the testing and evaluation of the F-35. And look, I'm not against us having a fifth-generation fighter. We need the F-35. We need to have air superiority. But when it comes to the unique missions that the A-10 does, I am concerned that if we get rid of the A-10 without a proven, tested replacement, that we're going to be putting American lives at risk. And so part of the language we're working on for this year's defense bill is to have any further retirement of the A-10s to be more condition-based, that we wait till that comparison test happens, we get the results of that test, and then we have a honest assessment as to whether the F-35 will replace the A-10, and at the same time, conversation about development of the follow-on to the A-10, and the Pentagon Air Force just admitted they were starting to look at that. They call it the AX project. So part of this is, do we invest in rebuilding the rest of the wings? It's a tough, just to be frank, it's a tough argument to make while there's still uncertainty about the A-10's future with those that are on the Appropriations Committee and others. But we're still, trying to make that argument to say this thing needs to stay around for a long time. We need to fully support the funding to keep the A-10 flying. It's currently deployed not just in Korea, but Europe, the fight against ISIS. And we recently discovered it's also deployed to the Philippines. And we've only got 9 operational A-10 squadrons remaining. And so we've got to keep this important asset flying. So the wings is one part of the funding issue that we're fighting. I think we need to settle the path forward to show that the A-10 should stay around for a long time and then, continue to invest in those wings might be the argument that some people have because we've still got some uncertainty right now.
So it would be a lot cheaper, wouldn't it, to refit the A-10 than to worry about building the F-35?
Well, we need the F-35. We need a fifth-generation fighter. Okay. We get classified briefings all the time from the different combatant commanders. And look, we've got China literally building islands out of nothing in the South China Sea, putting military bases there where 60% of the world's maritime traffic goes through. We've got Russia invading its neighbors. The military buildup in China is disturbing, to say the least. We have got to make sure that we can have air superiority. The last time we had American troops at risk of lack of air superiority was in the Korean War, and we don't want to take that for granted. It takes a lot of effort to have air superiority and make sure that we can have access in places that we might be denied if we need to go strike targets. So we need a capability like the F-35, but whether you are going to use it to do close air support and combat search and rescue to protect our troops when we have air superiority, and the bigger threat is small arms, light attack, AAA, we call it, surface-to-air missiles, that's probably better suited for an airplane like the A-10.
All right, we're going to take our break here with Jackson Browne is our bump music today on Rock and Roll Friday on the Buckmaster Show. Congresswoman McSally sticks around for another segment. Dan Scheer as well. We'll be right back.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Lewis.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Dave Barry.
Great to see you.
Hey, it's Ryan Jeffries.
Thanks for coming.
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, I'm really glad you're
Brenda
here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Feeney.
I didn't know you were coming.
Joseph Blair.
You're
Bill Viner.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Hussey.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Aren't you?
Bob Logan.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Hey, it's Gilbert. Gilbert Luna, our director of operations. He's incredible. So good to see you. How you doing, Gilbert?
I'm doing great. Hey, Ken, looks like we did it again. Another 5-star event.
Man, wait until everybody finds out what we have in the works, like our Monteverde Grill. It's a gourmet kitchen on wheels, a 5-star restaurant. It's incredible. And our new high-tech selfie photo booth. Wow, it will be a hit at any special event. Learn more online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Running on empty. We're not running on empty. Jackson Brown, his big hit 1977. Our bumper music today. We have Congresswoman Martha McSally with us. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News. And lots of folks, our listeners, want to talk about the A-10 versus the F-35. First of all, does the National Guard have any A-10 training facilities or squadrons?
Well, they do. In fact, there's only, as I mentioned, there's 9 operational A-10 squadrons remaining that are deployable, and only 4 are active duty. The other 5 are Guard and Reserve. The one at Davis-Monthan, one in Korea, and 2 at Moody Air Force Base are the only active duty ones. So the rest are across the National Guard, and they are deployed right now. They're a critical part of providing the A-10 capabilities, over half right now.
What's the survivability of an – well, you're a former A-10 pilot. What is the survivability of the A-10 versus the F-35 if hit by ground fire?
Yeah, that's a great question, and this is one that I highlight all the time. The A-10 was built to be able to survive direct hits. We have a titanium bathtub, we call it affectionately, around the cockpit and the pilot, so we could actually take a direct hit, but it doesn't get into the cockpit. We have redundant hydraulics. We have redundant electrics. We have the ability, even if we lose all of that, to fly mechanically, manually. And we've had actually one of the more famous one was a woman, Kim Campbell, who came back with in manual reversion and came back and landed after getting shot up in Iraq with holes in her wing and a bunch taken out of the stabilizers, and was able to land. And so we asked this question in one of the hearings about, can the F-35 survive a direct hit? And the answer was no. And they said, well, they'll be doing standoff CAS. And to me, that's an oxymoron. It's close air support. Sometimes you need to get close and be in a visual fight. I've had missions where the guys on the ground were on the run, and they pulled out a mirror and did a mirror flash of the sun into my eyes, saying, this is where we are. Don't hit us. The enemy is, you know, a couple hundred yards in the other direction. And so you need to have the ability to survive a direct hit and not have to eject and then become a POW and end up like the Jordanian pilot who was lit on fire in a cage. I mean, these are strategically important capabilities, and we shouldn't be putting our F-35s into that circumstance. They should be able to fly, use their stealth capabilities, stay in a standoff, and go hit targets and provide air superiority. That's not the same mission as close air support.
All right. Here's Dan Scheer.
Okay, switching gears a little bit. Yesterday, Senator McCain expressed some deep concerns over the exit of United Health from the Affordable Care Act exchange. How's that going to affect rural people, and how many are we really talking about here?
It's pretty significant. And just for everybody's background, this is on the Affordable Care Act exchanges. And right now in Cochise County, there were only 2 providers, Blue Cross Blue Shield and United. United announced they're pulling out. So that means the only one is Blue Cross Blue Shield. And if you look at statements from their company, they've also taken hundreds of millions of dollars of losses in these exchanges. And so they're actually being a bit tentative about their plans. We got the numbers. It's a little over 3,200 people in Cochise County that are on the exchanges and have gotten health care. We're concerned that premiums are continuing to rise. The insurance companies will tell you that this model is not working for them because individuals that are getting on the exchanges are often not the young, healthy people that help balance out an insurance market. So they're taking larger and larger losses every year. Premiums are going up, and that's what you're seeing the exit of a lot of companies from these exchanges. I think the administration needs to acknowledge that this model that they had for the Affordable Care Act, it's neither affordable nor is it providing better care for people. And, you know, on our side and Republicans, look, I've been a part of the team saying, stop talking about repealing and replacing it without offering your solutions to replace it. And, you know, one thing that we are doing throughout the spring and summer is providing an agenda in a number of different areas for an alternative sort of future and vision in areas that impact everyone in our communities and our country. And one of those is healthcare. And so the intent is that we are working on what a alternative would be that's not going to hurt families in a transition that actually will bring the cost of healthcare down, because the Affordable Care Act is not doing that. The prices keep going up. And we've got to be thoughtful in the way we address these issues, because it's impacting real people in our communities. I'm deeply concerned about the impact in rural areas in Arizona.
Well, this is a big deal for several states. Do you think it's the beginning of the end? Are a lot of people going to lose faith in the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, potentially. And we're seeing that already, right? And so we're seeing, you know, and companies sort of wrote it out for a couple of years, but they can't keep sustaining hundreds of millions of dollars of losses, you know, forever. So what they're doing is they're raising premiums. And then what happens is people start, you know, pulling out and not getting insurance because they can't afford them. They're basically paying cash for their health care. And so we've seen this sort of cycle happening here. Again, not surprising for those of us who believe there was a different model to be able to cover people with pre-existing conditions and people who couldn't afford health care. But we are where we are. So we have to figure out, not yelling at each other, but figure out how to maybe find an off-ramp to replace it without hurting people that are caught in the middle, that are also dealing with health care crises as we speak.
Any progress on beating ISIS?
So as we talked about in the break, I mean, I've been dealing with counterterrorism and terrorist organizations for now 30 years. And look, ISIS is game-changing and is a metastasized al-Qaeda that has capabilities that we haven't seen before. Number one is they have territory. They are a state. They have a territory about the size of Indiana, not just in Iraq and Syria, but now also increasingly in places like Libya, ungoverned spaces that they're claiming territory, which they can use to fund their, you know, their terrorist export, to include taxing people, selling antiquities, robbing banks, black market oil. All these things are continuing to help them grow and expand. They have presence in over 20 countries in the region through different affiliates that either have started from scratch or have changed their affiliation from al-Qaeda to ISIS. And we have seen 38,000 people travel from 120 different countries to join the fight, get training, and then some of them being sent out to then conduct attacks in places like Europe, like we've seen, and then also in our own country. We have right now investigations in all 50 states. We have 250 Americans who have traveled over to join the fight. And the biggest concern is they're very sophisticated on social media to inspire, recruit, and direct people to take terrorist actions into their own hands in our communities. And my biggest concern are the ones that we don't know about that are being radicalized on the internet right now. So we have got to have a full strategy, and the one that the president delivered to Congress doesn't cut it, to address their center of gravity in Iraq and Syria, to take away their military capabilities, to cut off their resources, and have a thoughtful whole-of-government approach to address the foreign fighter flow and the homegrown extremism, which this administration has just not been doing. They've been failing at.
I don't think anybody would downplay domestic terrorism, but domestic terrorism, especially the fear of it, gets an awful lot of airtime. And don't we have bigger problems in this country to be dealing with than the fact that maybe one of us could be blown up by a bomb at a mall sometime?
Yeah, I think those are false choices, Dan. And when people say, let's deal with this versus this, I think we have to deal with all of it. We have to deal with economic opportunity. We don't want to hyperbolize the threat, and we don't want to live in fear, because the terrorists, they win if we choose not to go to a sporting event or a place of worship or a mall because we're afraid that you know, some attack may happen. That's not the way we live. But we also need to not undermine the threat either, because the radicalization and the homegrown extremism that we've seen over these past few years is like we've not seen before, and we've got to address it at its root for sure. We've got to counter the ideology. We can't stick our head in the sands, and we need to use a whole of society approach, really, which includes individuals in the community and coaches and teachers and neighbors, religious leaders, that if you see something, say something. If they see one of their loved ones either on the internet, on their Facebook page, that they tend to be looking like they're on the road to radicalization, that they do something and intervene, so we're not having to capture somebody as they're traveling over to Iraq and Syria to join the fight. Another interesting phenomenon we've seen is that, unlike other foreign fighter phenomenon is in the past, more women and girls are actually flowing over there. 1 in 6 of Americans that have traveled over there are women and girls. The average age of Westerners traveling over are 24, but the average age of the women is 21. And some of them are being victimized and being directly recruited by other Western women. Come over, find a husband, settle down, live a life of adventure. But others of them are becoming radicalized and are actually conducting attacks and radicalizing others. And I actually held a bipartisan roundtable on this issue because it's a new phenomena that we've got to figure out how to address.
Are women, you've been working on women veterans that could be interred at
yes.
Arlington.
This is one that just infuriated me, Bill. We found out in January, early January, that quietly the Army last year rescinded the right for our World War II female pilots called the WASPs to have their ashes in Arlington. They had this ability in the past, but they stopped it and didn't tell anyone until Elaine Harmon, who was one of the WASPs, requested to be in Arlington and was denied. Her family got the denial letter, went to the media. We found out about it, sprung into action. We've been trying to get the Army to change their position. And within 3 days, we introduced legislation to change this and to allow the women to be there. We wish it didn't take an act of Congress, but sometimes it does. And so we quickly, this is a sadly, we're having to deal with this, but it's a great story of quickly when people heard about it, we got co-sponsors, we got it at a committee, and less than 11 weeks later, it was unanimously voted on the floor of the House with 191 co-sponsors. We're trying to push it through the Senate quickly and get it on the president's desk to overturn this stupid ruling. It's cruel. There's only about 100 of them left, and these are the women that pave the way and open doors for people like me. And some of these women, I mean, three of them in particular in Tucson, were sitting in the front row of my change of command ceremony for my A-10 squadron. They were personal mentors to me. And the fact that we're opening up all positions in the military to women at the same time the Pentagon's closing the gates of Arlington to the pioneers is infuriating, and it's wrong. And it's an example of, I think, hey, I went to Washington, D.C. to fix problems. We saw a problem, we sprung into action, and now we're fixing it.
All right, we're out of time, but when did you learn to fly, and when did you know you wanted to fly?
So I actually was motion sick as a kid. And when I went to the Air Force Academy, I didn't want to be a pilot. I thought I wanted to be a doctor. But when I got there, I found out that women couldn't be fighter pilots just because we were women, and it really pissed me off. I hope I can say that on the radio. And so I became motivated to become a fighter pilot simply because they said I couldn't. And I did my first flying there at the academy, soaring at first, sailplanes, and then pre-flight training.
That was the first time you'd been in an airplane?
No, I had been in an airplane, but it's the first time I was
in
like controls.
That you actually, first time?
Yeah,
at
the academy.
Wow. So at that time, though, women were not...
No, it was against the law. And people laughed at me and said, it's against the law. You can't be a fighter pilot. And I said, you know what? We live in America. The law is going to change, and I'm not going to let my dream die. And I'm going to show them I'm going to be in the right place at the right time with the dream and the qualifications. And I was fortunate, timing is everything, that the door opened. But it was 10 years later when I took off in my first A-10 sortie.
All right. Martha McSally, thank you very much. I almost said Pilot McSally, Colonel McSally, whatever, Congresswoman McSally.
Good to be on.
I like your necklace.
I know, I have my A-10 necklace here.
An A-10.
I wear it, especially when we're in hearings. It's like my subliminal message where we're talking about the A-10. So.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Dan, stick around. Dan Shear will stick around. Jim Nitzel will join us from The Weekly. We'll be right back on our Friday edition of Buckmaster. But right now, Jackson Brown.
I'm gonna rent myself a house in the shade of the freeway. Gonna pack my lunch in the morning and go to work each day. And when the evening rolls around, I'll go on home and lay my body down. And when the morning light comes streaming in, I'll get up and do it again. Amen. Say it again.
What if you could see tomorrow? At Biosphere 2, being at the forefront of scientific discovery and innovation is our goal, and every Saturday during April, Biosphere 2 will present expert talks and have science activities focusing on Earth Month. What if presentations include a Nobel Prize-winning climate professor, Oceans Day, and wild jaguars in Arizona? Tours daily and more info at biosphere2.org. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring commentators Vince Robigo and Bob Westerman. Plus, Border Regent member Rick Myers joins us on Buckmaster Live, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. And we have live streaming podcasts and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
People stay.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A little bit of Jackson Brown for our bumper music here on Rock and Roll Friday on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks to Congresswoman Martha McSally, who is our Friday Focus interview. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun. Dan is the editor of those two fine papers. And on our live line, Mr. Jim Nintzel. Jim Nintzel, the senior editor for the Tucson Weekly. Jim is going to be giving us a call here momentarily. He also hosts the show Zona Politics on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on the CW Tucson Channel 8 on Cox and Comcast and Channel 58. Also, Dan will want to thank Jim when he joins us, or wish him the best anyway. He was named Journalist of the Year, one of the three finalists for Journalist of the Year at the Arizona Press Club.
Yep, and well-deserved. Jim's a hard worker and certainly well-known around these parts, say the least.
Did you catch any of the interview that I did with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll?
Yes, and if people listening didn't, they should go on the website and check it out. Ray, now, of course, that he's not going to be running for office anymore, is certainly very loose as he talks to us, and he's certainly willing to talk about pretty much everything, and he's always kind of, you know, shot from the hip and certainly spoke his mind, but he is, I think, willing to talk a little bit more now about the issues that really he's passionate about now that he's going to be heading toward retirement early next year. So.
And he talked about and shared with us a little bit of the op-ed that he is preparing for the Arizona Daily Star, and it is, in effect, the latest salvo in this kind of ongoing skirmish between Allie Miller and Chuck Huckleberry and the other board members over who has damaged the brand of Pima County the most.
Right, and I think Ray's other concern is that there are a couple of people running in, one in his district and one in Sharon Bronson's district, who he suspects are very much like Allie Miller. And I think he's thinking that the board could really turn over if those two are elected, and I think he's very fearful of that. So I think Ray wants to get involved in what's going to happen in November, you know, to a point. But while people are still listening to him, he's certainly going to get his shots in on Allie Miller because they've been going at it for years.
Do you get the sense that the opposition to Proposition 123 seems to be gaining momentum? I have not seen any polls, but it just seems that way.
I have not seen any polls either, but I would agree with you. To me, I'm going to liken it to what was happening with the Pima County bonds last year, where a lot of people seemed really on board. There were a lot of good arguments for it. There were, among those 99 projects, some very, very good projects. And then, to me, about the last month, at least down where I am, people started turning a little bit on it, and they started questioning a little bit harder. And that's right around the time, of course, that the early ballots were going out. And people were saying, you know what? Maybe it's going to be okay to vote against this thing because they just overall weren't happy with it. They didn't have to be convinced that some of those projects were certainly necessary, but there was a lot of what people perceived to be waste. So now you come to Prop 123, and I think some people are saying the same thing, is that, yeah, this is going to help the schools without a doubt. If I had to pick the one thing that really digs at people, though, it would be that they're upset that the state legislature didn't follow the rules from Prop 301 from that was passed in 2000 that would have kept pumping money into the schools. Maybe not as much as we wanted, but it would have cut back on what was going into the schools. And the legislature just said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's what ended up in this huge lawsuit. And now this is supposed to fix everything. And people are saying, but wait a minute, you didn't follow the will of the people. And I think that really is upsetting a lot of people. And so they may go to the polls and send a message, Bill.
All right. Jim Nitzel joining us now on the live line. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill.
We were just talking about you. Congratulations, one of three finalists for Journalist of the Year from the Arizona Press Club.
Yeah, it's quite an honor, but I'm up against some pretty tough competition. So we'll just have to see how it goes in another week or two.
We were speaking with Congresswoman McSally a few minutes ago, Jim, and in your article, in your weekly column in the Skinny, you talked about Congresswoman McSally has a titanic fundraising quarter, just chalked up a big one. How much did she bring in?
You know, this is barely news anymore with Martha McSally. Every quarter is a titanic fundraising quarter. She's very good, but I think she brought in about $800,000 in this last quarter. But you have to also keep in mind that she burns through a lot of money to raise that money. I think she spent over $500,000 a quarter. So there's you know, she spends a lot to bring in a lot. However, all that said, she's sitting on more than $2 million for her reelection effort here, and that's certainly more than either of the Democrats who want to take her on have I think Matt Hines is sitting on about $300,000, and Victoria Steele, the other former state lawmaker who wants to take her on, has only I think $45,000 in the bank. And you know, money isn't everything in these races, but there are, you know, folks at the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, that look at these numbers and decide whether or not it's worth investing in this area. And you know, when you're only sitting on $45,000, the DCCC, I think, is rolling its eyes at that point.
Dan and I were just discussing a little bit about the Ann Kirkpatrick during the break, Ann Kirkpatrick and the John McCain race. That is, of course, if John McCain gets by, he has two opponents, actually, in the primary. The new polling shows that Kirkpatrick actually is leading now McCain.
It does. I think they're pretty knotted up within the margin of error, so it's tough to say. And I think the most recent one I saw was the Behavior Research Center, the Rocky Mountain poll. And you know, I think part of the problem with these Rocky Mountain polls is they're generally attached to some other polling that's going on out there, and I'm not sure they're entirely reliable. But we have seen a number of polls that show these guys knotted up still very early. But I think even John McCain's conceding that this is going to be the toughest re-election campaign of his career. Certainly, Arizona has not been very kind to statewide Democrats in recent years. So, again, we'll just have to see what happens. But there are a lot of Republicans who are unhappy with John McCain right now, and that's a problem for him for sure.
Dan, do you think professional hockey will make it here in Southern Arizona? I hope it does come. I like professional hockey.
I tell you, the buzz on the internet about this whole story is just incredible. And I knew we had a lot of hockey fans down here.
Yeah,
and
sure there are.
A lot of transplants and a lot of interest. My neighbor's a huge fan of this, and mm-hmm. So I can only imagine they're excited about it. We'll see. You know, it depends on who you believe at this point. Some people think it's locked in and happening, and others are saying, wait a minute. It's still early. So we'll see. I think anything other than U of A sports, obviously, is very popular here, but anything outside of that is going to be just huge for us, because it shows people have confidence in the area. And I think that's going to be the biggest message.
Jim, what do you think?
Well, you know, professional sports have had a hard time making mm-hmm. it in Southern Arizona outside. The U of A does very, very well, as Dan, I think, was saying there, and we certainly love our basketball and our football. But outside of that, we can't seem to keep a minor league baseball team going. We haven't had much luck with anything else. We've got a little bit of soccer action going on right now. It would certainly be great to have a club here, and I would hope that the folks in Southern Arizona would actually get out to those games and support a team.
All right. On the live line, Richard has a question, would like to join in the conversation. Richard, what is your question?
Hi, Bill. The United Healthcare dropping out of the Obama exchanges, and the word is now that Blue Cross will be next. I think it shows that Obamacare was a poorly, poorly written law and legislation, and it is imploding, and I think that is the best thing that can happen to all of us in this country. This Obamacare to be done away with and start over, because, you know, what we're going to see, Bill, is people, 45-year-olds, and 5 years from now with families, paying $3,000 or $4,000 a month for health insurance. They simply won't be able to afford it. Even the healthy people with good incomes will begin to lose their insurance. All of our other insurance has been doubled and tripled. It is a total debacle. I don't expect Nancel to admit that. Of course he won't. He's vested in the Democratic Party. And I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent who had originally voted for Barack Obama. But it's a debacle that needs to go.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Jim, are you invested in the Democratic Party?
I haven't made any investments in the Democratic Party. I think it would be a poor investment in Arizona.
Any comments from you, Mr. Dan Scheer?
Well, you have to go back to what Martha McSally was saying, and what she said is that, you know, you have a company that's losing, I think she said, hundreds of millions of dollars, and how can that go on? And so the caller is correct. It was destined to fail. So why was something as basic as that not foreseen? I mean, is it not enough people are signing up? They're willing to take the fine instead? Is it, you know, as she pointed out, the young people? So, boy, this is huge for rural Arizona, and we'll see what happens.
Jim, a local story, Broadway widening is finally getting approval after many years. A lot of people are unhappy about that. What's your take?
Well, you know, I know there were a lot of people who did not want to see changes on Broadway, who are concerned about some of the historic buildings there and the what they call the sense of place on the Sunshine Mile. But there are obviously tremendous needs in terms of reinvesting in that corridor. As charming as parts of it are, there are other parts that are, you know, there are properties on there that have been sitting for a long time because the city purchased them a long time ago in anticipation of this widening. And I think the city was in a position where they just couldn't pass up $72 million for a chance to try to improve that corridor. There's just no way a city that's as broke as the city of Tucson is could say no to that. And I think that once the project is done, it's not going to be nearly as bad as the detractors say it will be.
You joined us a little bit late. We were talking about Prop 123. Jim, do you see, as Dan was just pointing out, that we were talking a little bit about the momentum that the no on Prop 123 people seem to be picking up. Do you feel that as well?
You know, there's a lot of people on the left who are unhappy with this for the reasons that Dan was saying, and also because I think there's a real fear that the legislature, the current political leadership in the state, is just not going to support public education. They're going to say this was enough, and then they're going to move on to expanding vouchers and taking away desegregation money and doing any number of other things that are going to actually damage the public schools, and they don't feel like there's a commitment from Doug Ducey to stop those things from happening. But on the other hand, you talk to people like Bruce Wheeler or Steve Farley, the state lawmakers who are who didn't like this plan in the first place, did not support putting it on the ballot, but are supporting it now, and they'll tell you, you know, this was the only chance to get any money at all into the schools that are desperately in need of it. I'm writing a big cover story on this for next week, so I can get into that those details more deeply if folks want to pick that up. But the short version is there's certainly a lot of unhappiness and distrust. But on the other hand, the educators are behind this. You saw that ad cut with Doug Ducey and his former Democratic rival, Fred Duvall, this week. And I think in all likelihood this will pass. But the real question is what happens next and will there be any additional investment? And honestly, it's certainly taking money away from the future to pay for our needs now, and rather than actually paying for them through some form of a tax increase or serious investment from our current revenues.
All right, Jim Nitzel, we'll see you on the TV show, 8 o'clock Sunday morning, CW Tucson Channel 8 on Cox, right?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you. And Dan, thank you. We'll look for your work in the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Now the seats are all empty. Let the roadies take the stage. Pack it up and tear it down.
They're the first. What is it, boy? You want to go where? To the Humane Society's Putting on the Dog? It is the best event in Tucson. You're right. We should go.
Get your tickets to Tucson's best pet event, Putting on the Dog, Friday, May 6th from 6 to 9 at the Tucson Hilton El Conquistador. Food by Tucson Originals, live and silent auctions, great entertainment, and more. Tickets at hssaz.org/POD. All proceeds benefit the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Don't Miss Business event of the season is here. The 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards are May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort at 5:30 p.m. Join us for a celebration of the long history of Better Business Bureau in Southern Arizona as we honor this year's winners for their work in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. This spectacular dinner event is selling fast. Don't delay. Reserve your spot today and register at bbb.org/Tucson.
What if you could see tomorrow? At Biosphere 2, being at the forefront of scientific discovery and innovation is our goal, and every Saturday during April, Biosphere 2 will present expert talks and have science activities focusing on Earth Month. What if presentations include a Nobel Prize-winning climate professor, Oceans Day, and wild jaguars in Arizona? Tours daily and more info at biosphere2.org. Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Food and Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist Matt Russell, brought to us by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where they're getting ready for the 21st annual Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival. It's over Memorial Day weekend, and the headliners this year, Taj Mahal Trio, for that free event, just 3 hours east of Tucson, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great places to stay, the full listing, including Georgetown Cabins, and the many things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated foodie, who even has a bumper sticker on his car, "Follow me to a good meal." Here he is, Matt Russell. Where should we go for happy hours? sir.
Well, you know, Bill, I'm always on the hunt for a great one. And my pick today is Goodness Kitchen on the southeast corner of Skyline and Campbell. Now, Goodness has one of the great patios in all of Pima County, framing gorgeous views of the mountains. And as long as you're going al fresco, I say treat yourself to an ice-cold Southwest sangria with white wine, tequila, fresh lime, black pepper, cactus pad juice, and desert creosote. Pair that with an order of their cauliflower fries, and you're off to happy hour greatness at Goodness later today.
Sounds like a lovely mixologist creation, but there are those that would prefer the suds.
Yeah, and great weather is going to make its way well into the weekend. And if you're a hophead like I am, it's the Baja Beer Festival tomorrow night at Rialto Park. It is a must for beer lovers. More than 200 beers from 50 brewers from across Arizona and the West. They're going to be on tap tomorrow starting at about 5. And here's something fun. A group of local firefighters are going to be teaming up with some Tucson brewers in a fun pro-am-style competition to see who can craft the best brews. Proceeds go to charity, and I promise, Bill, there will be a beer for every personality and palate at the Baja Beer Festival.
It seems like there's a festival for every palate as well.
There is. And, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about pork belly, porterhouses, and barbecue here on the Weekend Watch, but equal time consideration must be given to those who hang out on the healthier side of things. And for that reason, allow me to introduce the first annual Tucson Veg Fest, which is happening on Sunday starting at 10 in the morning at the Whistle Stop Depot over on West 5th Street. If you're a vegetarian or a vegan, this is the place to be with lectures and cooking demonstrations, food vendors, entertainment, and tickets are only $10. So I say, conjure up your inner Yule Gibbons and head over to the Tucson Veg Fest on Sunday. Everybody needs a break from bacon at some point, right, Bill?
You bet. I want to go mingle with all those healthy people. Matt, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
We've got so many great shows here on the weekend, including Liberty Watch with Charles Heller. Charles tells me that he has the authors of an excellent book called Cornerstone of Liberty. That's coming up 11 o'clock right after Swap Shop on Liberty Watch with our friend Charles Heller. I am Bill Buckmaster, and I want to thank all the people that are involved with the Buckmaster Show, which is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. Our fine husband and wife team and owners, Doug and Mary Martin, Tom Fairbanks, my excellent producer-engineer on Friday, Ray Allen, who does the same for me Monday through Thursday, Jerry Cross, the ace production guy, and then assistant Rosemary Brandt, all of us wishing you a safe and a wonderful weekend.